discussing the theology of an overcomer. What does it mean? Because what you don't know can hurt you. Amen? And you need to know where you're positioned. And Jesus has called his church, he's called you and I to be overcomers. But in many cases, it seems like we're the ones being overcome, yet he's called and graced us to overcome, not to be overcome. Amen? That was a long way of saying we're supposed to win, not lose. Amen? The word tells us that we're to overcome the world, we're to overcome the flesh, and we're to overcome the devil. And we do so by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and not loving our lives even unto death, Revelation tells us. And that we find that there's a theological basis for overcoming that we see in Romans chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8. And they hold the key to entering into an overcoming life. And last week we talked about in Romans 5 being justified by faith, that it was our spirit man who was justified when we received Christ and we were born again. And what that means is you were born into your sin nature, but you were also born into the kingdom. You were birthed into it, you didn't earn it. Amen? So we were born in to victory. Guys, you were born into victory. Isn't that awesome? Yay. You were birthed into victory. Isn't that amazing? You weren't just forgiven, you were justified. You were made right with God. And in God's mind, it's as if you never sinned in the first place. So quit reminding him. He doesn't remember. Amen? I love that when we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us. Amen? And when he looks at us, when the Father looks at us, he regards only the blood of Jesus and not our sin. But this week, I want to talk about, we talked about being justified last week, but this week I want to talk about something else found in Romans 6, and that's this. You are dead to sin. You don't seem convinced. Can I say that again? Can I say it, and can you please humor me and just get a little excited? You are dead to sin. Amen? Isn't that awesome? Romans 6, verse 2 says this, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Right? How have we who died to sin live any longer in it? You know, 1 Peter 2:24 says this. Do we have that scripture? There you go. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we having died to sins might live for righteousness. You died to one thing to live for another. Isn't that awesome? And I tell you what, guys, I just want to say this before I jump into the rest of this message over the next 20 minutes here this morning. You do not have a sin problem any longer. Jesus satisfied your sin problem on the cross. He ended it once and for all. Amen? And by the way, and I know if you've been around me for 5 minutes, you've heard me say this. He didn't just cover your past sin. Jesus' atonement is not just retroactive, it's proactive. He covered everything you ever did and everything you ever will do. Amen? Guys, that is a powerful work. The blood is far more powerful than you're giving it credit for. Come on. You all right? But once you are born again, I'm going to tell you something. I want to just let you know that once you say yes to Jesus, I need to let you know something. You're ruined for sinning. You're ruined for it. What does that mean? Well, you're born again, your spirit man, when you're born again, your spirit man just can't enjoy it anymore. That's all there is to it. 1 John 5:18 says this, whoever is born of God does not sin. Well, you need to understand that you are three parts, your spirit, soul, and body. So when you're born again, I'm going to tell you right now, your body wasn't born again. Right? Your soul wasn't born again. It was your spirit. Your spirit man who came to life. If you sin after your new birth, it's your soul, it's your mind, will, or emotions, or your body that sinned, not your born again spirit man. Amen? We need to understand our theology. Is that okay? It's essential to, that's why it's essential for us to renew our mind with the Word. You guys, you got to be in your Word. Because you're, let me tell you right now, your spirit is set free. But we got some work to do in our mind, will, and emotions. Amen? That's why we have church. It's why we have small group. It's why we have teaching. It's not so that we can fill a schedule with programs. It's that we're renewing our mind so that we're no longer being tempted, come on, by those things. Our spirit is set free, but we still got to deal with it in our mind, will, and emotions. Amen? See, when your mind is renewed and it comes into agreement with your spirit, you begin to live a life ruling over your flesh, no longer your flesh ruling over you. And without the knowledge of the Word, your flesh, your unrenewed mind, your unrenewed body will rule over you. See, the very fact, now let me ask a question. How many of you have, it's okay, how many, you can be honest with me, I'm not going to get mad. How many of you who have maybe messed up in the last week, month or so? Anybody? Yeah? Okay, take notes quickly. I'm going to have personal meetings with every single one. No, my hand was up, right? Are you guys upset that pastors probably sinned in the last little bit? You guys okay? That I'm a human being? All right, good. But I want to tell you something. The very fact that you feel bad or your conscience bothers you when you sin is proof that you're born again. It's proof. Just get worried when you don't feel bad. The fact that you feel a sense of I've done wrong is proof. You know, how many of you know, before we were born again, many of us, we probably did some things and we didn't even think twice about it, did we? But after we were saved, we began to do certain things. We're like, oh, wait a minute, maybe, what's that? What's that feeling? Maybe I shouldn't do that, right? Maybe I shouldn't give the middle finger of fellowship to that person in traffic. I feel bad about that. Maybe that wasn't the best use of my time. But the very fact that we begin to even feel it is a sign that lets us know that there is something different about us now. Amen? You guys okay this morning? See, when you and I were lost, we were sinners by nature. So don't be surprised when sinners do what they do. Sinners are going to sin. So why do we get shocked when sinners do that? They're just falling in line with what they know to do by their nature. Amen? And when we were sinners, we sinned, and that's what we did, and it didn't bother us. So don't be surprised about the sins of lost people. All right? When you got saved, your nature changed. So now if you sin, you can't really enjoy it like you once did. It kind of messes everybody up. So somebody's over there saying, going, well, I want to enjoy sin, so I'm not going to get saved. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to enjoy hell. And by the way, can we do something real quick? I got to get back on my notes, but can we do something real quick? Can we start talking about the goodness of God and how much better it is to serve God and attract people to a relationship with Him by living out the joy that He is so wonderfully put in our life, and allow that to be the thing that draws people to Jesus. Not our criticism, not our getting upset when sinners sin. Can the kindness of God lead them to repentance instead of winning the world by arguing on Facebook? Because it's not going to happen. Question. Have any of you ever engaged in such argument and had somebody type you back? I see your well-crafted argument, and I concede your point, and I've decided this moment to change all my wicked ways. Has that ever happened? Ever? No. Waste of time. We need to start loving people and letting them see the goodness of God in us. What did I talk about during evangelism? Live our life in such a way that it's an invitation to come and see that God is good. Amen? That's what we need to do. Because God's goodness is so much better. His favor is so much better than any sin. Then you're not missing anything. Amen? The only thing you're going to miss by following Jesus is heartache and hurt and destruction and death. That's all you're giving up. Amen? See, the most miserable people in the world are Christians who are living in sin. They're dead to sin now, but they just can't enjoy it anymore. I think that's funny. Right? So how did we become dead to sin? Where our old man died? In Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through 8, it says this. Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ, Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism. Didn't we see an example of that this morning? Amen? We were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Isn't that awesome? Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. You died for one thing to live for something else. Amen? See, Colossians 3:3 says this, for you died and your life after the old man died is hidden with Christ in God. So, you know, it's interesting that you need to understand that before you were saved, you only had one nature, a sin nature. Amen? That nature was crucified. It's dead. It done got killed. You were born again with a new nature. So how many natures do you have now? One. The old one died. Isn't that what the word tells us? The old man died, but you've been raised to life again. So now you have a new nature. And you have a nature that is in the likeness of Jesus. Amen? You have a heavenly nature now, the nature of Jesus. If it was not your old nature that died, then what did die? Something died. What was it? It wasn't your body. Right? We hope. We're all still here, right? It wasn't your soul, your mind, will, and your emotions, or your personality. How many of you know you still have your personality? Yeah? You should work on that. It's your old sin nature that died. Yeah, you do not have a nature inclined to sin anymore after the new birth. You may still sin, but your identity as a sinner has been removed by the cross. Who you are and how you act may not always line up. But that doesn't change the fact of who you are. You're now a victor. Amen? Set free from sin. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11 says this, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. You were one way, now you're another. You were one thing, now you're another. You died to this to come alive in this. Amen? Isn't that awesome? You know, Pastor Greg used to give an example of this all the time. And if you guys remember Pastor Greg, I won't do the accent today. By the way, just so you know, last time I went up to teach at Karis, he had heard that I had been doing an impression of him. And so he made me do it for him. And you know what he did? He laughed very hard and very silently. For those of you who know him, when Pastor Greg gets laughing, he starts laughing so hard no sound comes out. And then he begins to point to people randomly. I would say this if he were here because I did it in front of him. And he'll start laughing and his face will turn red and his little bald head will turn red. And he'll start going. I'm like, breathe, man. You're going to pass out. That's what he did. By the way, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for an older leader in the faith who can allow the young people, in that case, it's me to him. Church, can I say something? Sorry. Don't be afraid of our young people. We have to make room for them to step up and lead. Amen? And we can't be, God bless you. And we can't be afraid. We can't be afraid when they do it. Amen? This is how the church grows. This is how the church develops. This is how the church overcomes. Guys, we are not a church that's afraid of young people. We're a church that's going to embrace them and let them lead in Jesus' name. Amen? Anyway, Pastor Greg used to say this. He used to say that there's an example of that is told of the good dog, bad dog theory. That you feed the good dog and you starve the bad dog. Two natures warring against one another. And what we need to understand is, according to Scripture, that's a lie. The truth is this. In reality, the bad dog's been killed. He's not alive anymore. And this is hard to accept because our experience and our feelings don't validate that. But what do I always say about feelings? Don't trust your feelings. They'll lie to you. Trust the Word. And the Word says you're not a sinner anymore. Amen? You're dead to that. Michelle, would you come? I'm going to close in just a few minutes. There are tremendous benefits associated with the fact that our old nature was put to death with Jesus on the cross. And Romans 6:7 says this, "For he who has died has been freed from sin." Guys, you don't have to deal with sin any longer. You don't have to put up with it anymore. Amen? Because of the death of our old nature, sin has no more power over us. The only power sin has over you now is the power that you grant it. Do you know you can choose not to sin? The devil can't make you do it. You know that old devil made me do it. Devil doesn't make you do anything. The devil presents an opportunity. You choose whether or not to take advantage of it. Amen? He has no power over you. I'm sorry, two people are happy about that. He has no power over you whatsoever. Amen? He can do nothing to you. He can't make you do anything. He can't drive you to do anything. All he can do is mess with you and try to get you to respond. Well, give him a response. Put him under your feet. Put him where he belongs. I give you pastoral permission to tell him where to go. In Jesus' name. All you're doing is telling him to go home. Tell him to go home. Just don't say it to other people. That's mean. But say it to him. He has no power over us. Sin has no power over us. And when we trusted in Christ, we were free to live a righteous lifestyle. You don't have to sin anymore because you are dead, and dead men don't sin. Now, by the way, can I tell you something too? There are a lot of things, just by the way, there are a lot of things that man calls sin that the Bible doesn't. Come on. If the Bible calls it missing the mark, it's sin. But if man made up a rule just to keep you under control? Come on. Now you're looking at me cross-eyed. I don't have time to get into that today. But just know, we have been living such restricted lives because we've been following what men say and not what the Word says. See, the Word produces freedom. Men's Word produces bondage. Amen? But God's Word produces freedom. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen? And if I live according to Scripture, if I live according to the Word, and I live according to the character of God, I live in true freedom. Nothing binds me. Nothing chains me up. You know, it's really silly that song from Pinocchio just came into my brain. There are no strings on me. I'm a ridiculous human being, aren't I? I think of the weirdest stuff at the weirdest times. This should be a really holy moment, and I'm thinking about Pinocchio. But there are no strings on us. Because we live according, we have been set free. We've been given a new nature. We've been freed from the curse of sin and the law. We've been set completely free. The enemy has no power over us. He has no say over us. He has no determination over us. Sin doesn't win. I win. Because Jesus said so. We're not bound. We are walking in the greatest season of liberation that we have ever seen. Because of the work of the cross. Please understand, liberation is not living without restraint. It's actually restraint that brings greater freedom. I don't have time to teach that today. I will another day. But I want us to walk away today understanding this. You're dead. You're dead to sin. Dead man can't be tempted. You could call a dead man anything you want to call it. He's not going to react. You can say anything to a dead man. You can accuse a dead man of being a liar. You can accuse a dead man of being a thief. You can accuse a dead man of anything. He's not going to respond. Why? He's dead. Likewise, guys, sin doesn't have to have an effect on us anymore. We can walk in victory. We can be overcomers because that part of our nature is dead. Romans 6:11 says this, likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Galatians 2:20, which happens to be one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, it says this, for I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Paul says, I died. I don't live. Jesus has awakened something better. Amen? And Jesus is your life now. He's the one who breathes through you. He's the one who brought your spirit man to a place of recognizing his voice and being sensitive to his leading. It's almost like you can finally see the world the way it is. It's like you've been living in black and white. But now all the color of the world has come forward because you died. And Christ came alive on the inside of you. You ever seen that? I mean, you ever seen a movie like that where it starts in black and white, but then all of a sudden it just comes to life with color? I love those videos of people who are colorblind who finally get the glasses that allow them to see color and just watching how they see the world. Let me ask you, do you remember when you said yes to Jesus? Do you remember how the world began to look different? You remember how all the colors began to look differently. You saw in greater dimension, in greater depth. See, guys, that's what being alive to the Spirit is. That's what a relationship with the Holy Spirit does in us. It lets us see the world in the way that we were supposed to see it. Full of vibrancy, full of life, full of joy. That's why believers, everywhere we go, we should be laughing more. Amen? Because we're dead to sin, we're alive to Christ. That means everywhere we go, things should get better. Why? Because we're dead to sin, we're alive to Christ. That means everywhere we go, we should be the innovators, the people who call for hope, the people who encourage. Why? Because we are dead to sin, and now we see the full spectrum of the goodness of God. Isn't that awesome? That is who you are. You're not a sinner anymore. Amen? Last thing I want to say, and I know I'm over my time. First Corinthians 15:34 says, awake to righteousness and sin not. Right? Awake to righteousness and do not sin. Once you've been awakened to the goodness of God, there's no going back. Your life is forever changed. You're forever marked. Amen? But so many of us, and this is the point I want to leave you with today, so many of us are trying to overcome sin by focusing on our sin. What do I mean by that? Don't do that. 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 I got to stop doing that. Don't do that. Don't say that. Don't think that. Don't do that. We spend so much time focusing on our sin that we stay trapped focused on our sin. If you want to overcome sin, quit focusing on your sin, but start focusing on His life that is in us. Don't focus on sin, focus on who He is. And I guarantee you, you'll see victory in Jesus' name. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. It's time to close.